Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I was walking past a shopping centre once and I remember I looked like my head was just like so craned over, you know, stooping because I was very tall, very young. So I think I was 5'8" when I was 12.
Hello and welcome back. Today's guest is Rosemary Ferguson. Rosemary started her career as a model and was part of the wave of British models who were huge in the 90s, with pictures of her appearing in loads of publications, including Vogue and The Face. She then went to the College of Naturopathic Medicine to train as a naturopath and nutritionist. Now she runs a clinic on Harley Street, is the co-founder along with Gizzy Erskine of the food brand Filth, and founded the 5-Day Plan, which I've done and thought was brilliant. It's basically a delivery service of all the foods and supplements you need for 5 days, and it really gets you back on track if you're feeling a bit crap. Here's Rosemary. Hi, Rosemary Ferguson.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Let's go back. Let's go back. We always go back right to the beginning. What were you like as a little girl? Where were you growing up? What were you seeing around you? And what informed your ideas of what was beautiful?
Okay, well, I had kind of like a all over the shop. So I grew up in Scotland until I was 7. My dad's Scottish, Ferguson, Scottish, I suppose. So I lived there till I was 7. Then we moved up sticks. I moved to Rio in Brazil.
Okay.
For 2 years.
What made you do that?
Well, my dad's job, I think. So he was in the Navy, but then he went to do something else there, mm-hmm. I think.
Okay.
And so it was funny, actually, because someone was asking about my first glamour. What was my first idea of glamour?
Yeah.
And apart from Dynasty in my teenage.
Hmm.
I was talking about women on the beach in Ipanema. We lived one block back from the beach. And, you know, and I mean, you don't think about it at the time, but you're surrounded by that. You know, it's also very family Brazil. So you don't, you know, the beach, the beautiful bodies on Ipanema, there's also loads of family stuff going on too.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was definitely, I was like, oh yeah, that was pretty glamorous. I remember thinking those women, you know, probably weren't nearly as hot as the women you see photo, you know, but they were pretty hot anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was quite a sort of, that was something I remember.
It's quite a nice thing about glamour, though, that it actually isn't the preserve of just beautiful people.
No.
You can be really glamorous and you can be, like, you know, a 60-year-old mum
yes.
of five
yeah.
and not have a, you know, size 8 figure. Yeah.
It's almost harder to achieve glamour when you're young, I think. Like, to be glamorous, you're not really ever glamorous in your 20s. I don't know.
And also, I think that then it kind of can tip into tarty in a way. Yeah. That, like, you know, not that there's anything wrong with tarty, but I think when you get older, you can inhabit that glamour, that Elizabeth Taylor kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so that was weird. Then when I moved back, we lived and moved around. My parents separated, and we lived and moved around south of England.
What was your mum like?
My mum, my friends used to call her a posh hippie because not a posh hippie, a posh witch. Because she was very, so she does kinesiology, but back in the day, she didn't call it kinesiology, it was balancing her body energies. She's not American, I don't know. But she balanced her body energies and used Rescue Remedy and did, you know, so did all the balancing with the progressing arm that kinesiologists do. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother had a health food store. She had one of the first health food shops in the country.
Oh, interesting.
In Petersfield, which is where my mum grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surrounded by that and batch flower remedies. And then my stepdad is a homeopath. So my mum is very she's very alternative medicine. She wouldn't let me have any vaccinations.
Oh, really?
No.
And was food quite an important part then of your childhood?
Well, it's funny actually because what I do is quite specific, I think, to a younger generation because my mum, partly because it wasn't available, all the food that we eat now that isn't great for us wasn't available then. So, you know, she was very, very traditional. It was meat and two veg, well, you know, or just lots of vegetables, fresh, homemade, which I think a lot of people were.
Yeah, yeah.
So we weren't allowed sugar. She did say we were quite embarrassing when we go around to people's houses and they had a
some biscuits would be like locusts.
Yeah.
Because we weren't allowed sugar, so we were quite keen on it. Except she is the pudding queen now, I have to say.
Okay. So, but that's, I think that's a really healthy way. I think that when, so I grew up in the 80s, and actually my experience was the opposite in that my parents were like, oh, do whatever, go and do whatever. So we were basically on a sugar high for like 10 years. But all the kids who had parents like yours.
Yeah.
Now have a much better relationship with food. It took me a long time to get out of the grip of sugar is great.
Because also 80s was fat is bad.
Mm.
Which is, so we didn't have any of that.
Fat is bad, sugar's great.
Fat is bad, sugar's good. Yeah,
it was bizarre. Yeah. Okay, so you had quite a sort of, sounds like quite a balanced, nurturing upbringing.
Yeah,
with elements that now inhabit your life in a way.
Yeah I definitely did. I mean, definitely the nutritionist and alternative complementary medicine is definitely in my roots.
Yeah,
for sure. I grew up with it. I was surrounded by it my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use nutrition as my medium. My mum used kinesiology. My stepdad used homeopathy. My gran had a help. You know, so it's definitely...
Did you have a happy relationship with your body? Because regardless of having, you know, all of those lovely disciplines that help you maybe to have a slightly better relationship, teenage years, growing up is hard. And the body, and even getting ill, you know, you get ill a lot more when you're younger and that sort of thing. So did that affect you, or did you find it easier, do you think, because of that?
Well, to be honest, you don't notice. I didn't notice that we were particularly healthy or anything like that. And and my relationship with my body, well, it sort of, it was, you know, I didn't used to think about my body very much. It was, I was very, very sporty at school. I remember once a girl saying that I had big thighs because I was literally playing lacrosse for the West of England and my thighs were good, solid, like running up and down a field in the freezing cold thighs. But then I suppose, how do I feel? So then I'm modelling. What, do you know what I would say about modelling is, because I am slightly more, I'm very sort of athletic, I think is the way we'll put it. I'm quite broad, in other words. Quite broad-shouldered. Is that even, it was funny because I came in when it was grunge and soup and a super waif, which is ludicrous because actually if you see me, I'm not waify really at all. And even back then, I mean, I was thin, but I wasn't, my bone structure is that I'm quite broad.
Yeah.
And so, and your body changes when you're, you know, so I started when I was 17, 18, 19, your body as a woman is still changing. So hips come in and so there were definitely, because I wasn't the tiniest of tiny, there were, you know, there were times when you just feel really like, oh no, it's just awkward. And but I my relationship with my body's, I quite forgiving, I suppose.
How old were you when you got into modelling?
So I was found, Corinne Day, the photographer,
scouted Kate Moss as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So and we, you were part of that whole wave of models too. It was a real moment.
I did my first job with her.
Did you? Okay. Yeah.
And, but at 15, that was a little bit later, at 17, so 15, Corinne came into McDonald's, ironically. Everyone thinks that's hilarious.
Okay, so I find that hilarious. Yeah.
She came into McDonald's and in Oxford Street.
So. Okay.
And so that happened, and then I didn't really
all the places for something to start. McDonald's on Oxford Street.
And then I didn't really, I did a couple of jobs, not with her, and I didn't like it very much, so it's like, oh, it's not for me.
Okay.
And then at 17 I was like, I think I need a car.
I went back
and actually the timing couldn't have been better because then the grunge thing was going and that sort of suited my androgynous look, apparently.
Talk to me about your height. How tall are you?
5'10".
Okay, when did you become 5'10"?
Very young.
And was that a problem for you or was it fine?
Well, I remember looking at it, I was walking past a shopping centre once and I remember I looked like my head was just like so craned over, you know, stooping because I was very tall, very young. So I think I was 5'8" when I was 12 or something, you know.
Okay.
And, but no, it wasn't really a problem. I was laughing with my daughters who are now quite tall. And we were laughing, just saying it's quite hard because you feel like a bit of a unit when you're dancing. You're just like, you've got all these cute little petite things and you're like gangling.
Yeah.
And you know, it didn't go well for me really dancing.
It's interesting with dancing actually because I think that's when you most inhabit your physical self around other people socially. So actually how you feel when you're dancing, like at, you know, at a wedding when someone goes, everyone goes dancing, you're like, oh. And if you're not really comfy in your skin, it's quite hard.
Well, actually that's funny because I was saying that... There a friend of mine used to laugh when I danced and it was just so crushing.
Aww.
And actually then, no, but over the last 15 years, she doesn't laugh anymore. She went, no, you found your rhythm or something like that.
A long time ago.
And that might be more to do with finding confidence in my own skin.
Yeah.
It's probably more to do with that than actually finding rhythm.
Completely. And I bet very many, but most people probably look at your dance and be like, I'd love to look like that. But it's just how you feel in yourself, yeah, isn't it?
Exactly.
But,
yeah. So I think, I mean, because nothing's changed, but I I can throw myself around the dance floor now quite happily.
Yeah. And getting old is great for that.
Yeah.
So tell me, so you're modelling successfully, very successfully.
Yeah.
What were the challenges and what were the great bits, really?
So funnily enough, after talking about how nutrition and holistic care is much more in my blood, fashion is not. Mm-hmm. And I found myself in an industry where I was like, I don't know what any of this is.
Yeah.
I was like a teenage girl who liked what they wore, but yeah. I wasn't like a follower of fashion really. And so it was a journey for me to like get into that headspace, which I hadn't, I was a little raver from Farnham. Yeah. And I used to go raving at weekends, and this lot were like, just, I don't know, it was a real eye-opener for me.
Was it quite a party time though? Am I right in thinking that that was a time when people were like, models and photographers and things were going out and getting drunk and then going to shoots the next day, or is that not how it was?
The 90s, it was very different to how it is now. Okay. It was much more social. I think there was a real gang of us at that time. There was a movement of people. The photographers were the same age as the models. The hair, whereas now it seems to be back to photographers are older, models are younger.
Yeah.
At that time, we were all the same age, and we were kind of all on the same wave.
Okay.
Whereas now, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what
so
you mean.
So we had quite a lot of fun.
It also feels like now it's a bit more professional. I'm not saying you were professional.
It was a total shambles.
Yeah.
It was an absolute
shambles. Yeah.
And that, I mean, you know, we used to do shoot. I mean, I went and did a shoot the other day, and I was like, my God, it is so professional. They had a whole studio for clothes.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and I'm like, well, in my day, someone would turn up with a bag and, you know, and it was a terrible chance. It was much more naive, I guess. And also, I don't know why the stakes can't have been as high financially, because that must be what's driving it now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, I think you see that in the end product. The photographs look more raw. They feel like they capture moments more, whereas now, often, not always, but often it is more glossy in the end product. It feels more polished. What was the next big shift in your life then?
I suppose having a baby is quite a big shift, isn't
okay.
it?
Okay. Wait. Hang on.
No. Back.
Just while you were modelling, were there any products you discovered? I can't believe I didn't ask that earlier. Yeah.
Do you know what was really life-changing? Mm. And it still was the Shumura Life Curlers, eyelash curlers.
Yes.
And I remember the first time I used them and then trying to... And it was just because they had to be Shumura, because I try other ones. Yes. And it's ironic because at the moment I change the rubbers on the ones I've got now and they're rubbish. I'm like...
But you know they've gone now.
They don't make them anymore.
No, so...
That's why I couldn't... So I tried to get... I've still got...
Yeah, the old rubbers, because you used to get them in a plastic bag.
Rubber,
didn't you?
And so I got a new rubber and it doesn't work.
Troy Surratt's are quite good.
Okay.
They're like... It's awful, isn't it? But so your lash is naturally straight?
They're not straight, but I like them when they really like
pop.
Curl. Yeah, exactly.
Me too, that's the thing.
Because I've got my eyelashes are quite good. The hair on my head is not, but my eyelashes are there. My eyes are quite
good eyelashes. Yeah. And excellent eyebrows. Did you pluck them off at that point?
Oh my God. Do you know, I was doing makeup today, I was doing a shoot and we had a photograph and my eyebrows are so thin.
So Shumura eyelash colours. Were you wearing makeup at home? Well, at home, in your off-duty time?
No, not really. I'm really going to annoy all of you because I'm really... Well, not annoy, just be boring, but because I don't wear that much makeup. But I suppose the only thing I did used to wear was like peacock blue. But this was before when I was a teenager. Mm. Peacock blue mascara.
Everyone wore terrible mascara or eyeshadow in their teens. I think it's a rite of passage.
That's all I used to
wear. You didn't really wear makeup. Were you good on skincare?
So skincare is my thing. Like, I really like good skin. And so the first thing I remember that a friend bought me, the Clarins Nettoyage, whatever. It's a face wash. It's a real memory in my life.
The bamboo one.
It's the classic face wash. It's a foaming face wash.
It's kind of creamy.
Yeah, it comes out white.
Yes, I know exactly which one. I think it's bamboo, maybe. But anyway, I know exactly which one you mean. I'll put it in the show notes.
Foaming face wash.
Yes.
And I can remember the smell. And I felt like... And I think I got given it when I was 15 or 16. Yeah. And I thought I had arrived.
That I mean, mega luxury.
Mega luxe.
Yeah.
And then I think that led it sort of into the pathway of Clinique, which actually my skin did not like so much.
Yeah.
So... and then what other things have I used? Oh, yeah. So around that time, that's what I was very much a Clarins girl, at that time.
Clarins is such a good, I feel like it's the kind of skincare that you can just rely on it. So tell me about New York then. When you got there, what was the work ethic like? Was it vastly different? Were you seeing very different things?
So it's much more professional in New York, and it was much more... So
what year was that?
That would have been 93.
Okay.
94? 93.
Interesting. 93. So still the time of like the supermodels segueing into the kind of Calvin Klein vibe.
And I moved there with Dave Sims, who was obviously just, you know, like it was that his time, and Guido, the hairdresser. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we had an Emma Balfour, and we shared a flat. And it was very, I mean, it was, do you know what? It was just like Brits Abroad, actually. I'm trying to make it,
but not in the like the Magaluf way.
No, I just mean that we all moved there.
Right.
All the Americans are very professional. And then you had the British. You weren't unprofessional, but we just stayed together.
Right.
It's like we literally picked up from London, went there. James Brown, Kate.
Yeah.
You know, we were all.
Everyone was in New York.
Everyone, Di Kendall, we were all in New York together. And
was it an exciting time? Because as someone who wasn't there, I hear that and I think, I would just love to have a week doing that. You know, like with those people at that seminal time, in that moment, did it feel really thrilling? And what did you feel on the cusp of this kind of
wave? Do you know what's been really funny is because people really appreciate it now. Whereas at the time, I don't think you do. We had I had a really good time.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. The memories are amazing.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, but you know, you're 18, 19 years old. And it's just happening.
Yeah.
But it's just happening, which I suppose is as it should be.
Yeah.
But it would be quite nice to, I suppose, go back and go, wow, isn't it good? You know, so, and it was, we had a really fun time and I made some of my best friends.
Were you taking good care of yourself?
Probably not. I think youth was taking care of me. Probably that time. I wasn't crazy, but we were definitely drinking and I was smoking and
yeah,
we were going out late and it's amazing. And travelling, you know, the models, well, models do, but it's actually all the fashion industry have this amazing ability or desire to travel. I'm like, why can't everyone just stick put? But so you travel, and so sleep was quite, you know.
Did you get good at traveling then? What were your what are your tips for like getting through lots of travel?
Oh my god, my husband hates traveling with me. He's like, I've got better actually over the years, but. He's like, you are in an airport, you just go into the zone and you're like, you go through it. And
what's your zone?
Well, just like, I just want to get through the airport as quickly as possible. Yeah. And because you're all usually on your own, you just do it in your own way.
Yeah.
You've got three kids and a husband, you're like, oh my God, come on guys, let's go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, anyway, so, and I know where I like to sit on a plane. And
where do you like to sit?
I like to sit by the window so I can put my feet up on it. But now
planes. But in the middle or at the back? Or?
If it's in economy. it would definitely have to be the window,
right,
so that I can put my feet up against it. But actually they didn't, because they didn't really have beds, they just started doing beds back then, so even in business you could put your feet up against
the,
you know,
up against the window,
against it. And then I used to, I mean, yeah, headphones on. Yes. And I actually used to say to people, this is so rude. I used to say to people, do you mind, you know, if they started chatting to me, I'd go, do you know, I'm rude, because I'd be so tired. I'd be like, do you mind? I need to sleep.
Do you mind if I sleep? Kylie, who came on the podcast, said that the best thing that she, her best investment was Bose noise cancelling earphones. She was like, I just get on the plane, I put them on, zone out. And she was like, I still feel crap when I land, but, you know, it's better.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, putting something on, it also just helps you zone out.
Yeah. Yeah, and sleep, basically.
No, it was fine. It was just, you know, you'd just be like, great, I'm getting on an 8-hour flight. That's 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
I love my sleep.
Yeah.
But it probably just wasn't you're as much as it. I liked. Yeah.
So when was modelling coming to an end? And so you're modelling through your 20s.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah.
And then, what's your next?
Well, so I modelled through my 20s till I was 24 because I was pregnant. I had a baby at 24, which is quite young. Now I look back, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's very young. I don't know what I was doing. Yeah.
Were you scared? Were you quite cool about
there's
it?
There's something great about blissful ignorance.
There is
unaware.
There is something though when people, like, I think, like, you know, I didn't have a baby at 24, but sometimes when people go, oh, did you find that intimidating or did you find that nerve-wracking? Then you're like, well, the thing is, it was just my life. Like,
when you're 24, a child.
Yeah.
24. I don't think that you're scared of things. You know, when you've just got that, like, it is blissful ignorance.
You
haven't weighed it up. You haven't made the decision. It's kind of happened.
Well, I think it's almost like, as a 24-year-old, I was immensely scared. I'm always cautious in my life. But I don't think you think of the long-term consequences in the same way. So it's like, maybe if you feel fear, you're not thinking, this is a big life change that's happening right now.
It's true. I know.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I was thinking, but I mean, obviously I'm very thrilled.
It's great. Yeah.
But yeah, so that was kind of a big life change.
Is that your daughter?
Yes, I've only got daughters actually.
The daughter I'm thinking of is a model now.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
She's at university.
What's her name?
Elfie.
Elfie. Right, okay.
She's at university, but she does a bit on the side. I made her go, because I didn't go to university. I got a place and took a year out to model, and 15 years later, I didn't make her. I just told her not to take a gap year. I said, just go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because you can do both. Yeah. But if you start on the full-time thing, then it's hard to, and she's loving university, and it's great, so she does a bit of both, and it's
also
great.
Once you're successful, it's unlikely you'd go back to university, so it's a nice experience to have.
Exactly, she loves it.
Were you worried when you were pregnant that it would affect, because, you know, as a model, your body is your commodity to an extent, so were you doing face modeling and were you worried that it would affect your career?
So I worked full-time till I was 4 months, because because when it's your first baby, you don't show.
Yeah.
Not the same second and third time, I might add. But yeah, I was worried. And I would say that after that, things got a little bit, like, you know, patchy work-wise, because it takes a while for your body to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really go back quite exactly. Well, mine didn't. Some people are amazingly disciplined, so I'm really not.
Yeah.
So, but then I started, and, you know, it was fine. So, and you do spring back quite quickly at that age, I have to say. But so then I went back to work as normal, and then I moved back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't last because it's an awful story, actually, but I moved back on the 10th of September before the 11th.
Wow.
I know. So I had my new apartment. I went back to look for a nanny for Elfie, and then the 11th happened, and I was just like, that New York was going to be sort of in shock for quite some time. So obviously, my mum was like, only you would move your life back on the 10th.
And were you a single mum at the time?
Yes,
okay, I
was.
So that's
her dad is amazing, and they get on very well, but we'd split up quite early on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so lots of stress then.
Lots of stress, but it was, I think with one, it's kind of easier,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, than having more.
Yeah.
And I was quite used to being transient, so it was kind of like, pick her up under my arm, off we went. And the fashion industry is also very, very lovely when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll bring her along, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, yeah.
So it was sort of fine. And so then I moved, we didn't move to New York for obvious reasons, and then we stayed in London and worked. And then I guess I just worked, single mum worked.
Yeah.
And I did used to travel because, you know, my mother was like, she's coming to stay again. I was like, see you later.
Where's your mum?
She lives in Farnham in Surrey.
Okay, so not terribly far.
Not far, no.
Okay, fine. Quite so she could help out a little airport. Bit. Stuff, yeah. Andy, yeah. Bye. Yeah.
So we did that. And then I suppose then I met my husband when I was 28.
Okay. Yeah.
And we got married really fast.
How fast is really fast?
10 months. We were engaged after 3. Oh, I got his name tattooed on my foot after 3 weeks. I think.
That, no way.
I think that's the way. And he got his name. He got mine. I don't know. I mean,
his first name or surname?
No, his first name. Okay. So he's got Rose on his shoulder, and I've got Jake on my foot.
Forget that name wrong.
Well, no, but then he was like, "Well, if we split up, I'm just going to put a P in front of Rose, and it'll be Pros." And I was like, "All right, I'm going to turn the A in Jake to O, so it'll be Joke."
Yeah, excellent.
So we had our get out clause
on the sole of your foot.
No, it's there. It's on my. It's under my ankle. Yes, that was that is
because that's whirlwind romance.
It was
then.
A bit of a whirlwind, yeah.
Amazing. And then, how quickly did you have your kids?
And then the other two, so then Bliss, who's the second one, we got married in September, she came in September. And then I had another baby 14 months later.
Mm-hmm.
So we had two babies under, you know, 14 and a half months.
So, you, at this point, you've got three children.
Yes.
Are you still working, or were you did you take time off?
Well, after the second one, I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
Because actually, I don't want to go travelling. Three kids, I've got two babies and a little one. And the body, at this point, would take quite a lot of work to get back in shape. My hair looked amazing.
Yeah,
because of pregnancy hair. Two pregnancies back to back. It was voluminous. Yes. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But it was really just, and it also, do you know what, it wasn't going, it was sort of dwindling anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so... So I did a bit of full-time mumming for a bit before I went to college.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Can you tell me how you look after yourself? And with the big fat caveat that this is not a prescription for anyone else to do what you do. Yeah. But in terms of what you do in terms of exercise, your routine and kind of what you would eat in a day, what do you do?
So it changes really dramatically. So I believe in a bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if that means going out on a Friday night and having red wine and steak, and that's what you want to do, that's what I want to do. I probably have a steak twice a year.
Okay.
I don't eat very much meat, mm-hmm. is the answer to the question of what I do eat. Mm-hmm. I don't eat very much meat. Most of 3 out of 5 of us are vegetarian at home.
Yeah.
I eat a little bit of meat, and my second daughter eats a little bit of meat, mm-hmm. And that's probably a bit of chicken, mm-hmm. and every now and then a steak.
Yeah.
But I also, what do I eat? So, okay, so let's start. In the morning, my favourites are avocado and egg. I know, it's so boring.
But good fats.
Good
protein.
Fats. Yeah. I tell you what, another family favourite that everybody loves is porridge with peanut butter and some cacao in.
What kind of porridge do you have? What kind of, it's just normal just oats?
Yeah.
With normal milk?
No.
Cow's milk? No.
No. Actually, I usually make it with water. But if I was going to make it with the milk, it would be an almond or an oat or something like that.
Okay, fine.
It probably wouldn't be cow's.
So you do water with oats and you stir it in and then you add the cacao. And
then I add some cacao powder, mm-hmm. and then you just get some almond butter or any nut butter and mix it in. It just, it's really nice.
Are you conscious of getting enough protein?
That's not why I add it. I add it for the flavour. But yeah, I mean, I would also add seeds for the protein too.
Okay.
Lots of people have this thing about protein. It depends how much protein you're going for, but if you're having like a bit of protein with every meal, it should be enough.
Okay, yeah, because nutritionists always say to me, because I'm vegetarian, make sure you're getting enough protein. I'm like,
I suppose for a vegetarian, if you're having eggs and so, it's quite hard for if you're in, especially if you're a vegan.
What time do you get up in the morning?
Well, that's changed, because I used to not be so good in the morning, but actually, I kind of like getting up. Because I live out of London, if I'm commuting into London, I like to get up early.
How early do you consider to be early?
Well, it can be really early, like 5:30.
Oh, my God, that's really early.
I got up at 6.
Did you? Okay.
But on a normal day, it would be 7. If I'm just doing a normal day and then taking, I do the kids to school and then I come to town if I have to.
Okay.
So that would be a 7 o'clocker.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the weekend, I'm going to lie in. I've just got a busy brain. I wake up and I'm like, ding, what can I do?
And once you're used to 7 a.m, it's quite hard to actually push past that, isn't it? Okay, so you get up. Do you exercise?
Well, I try not to be too punishing about exercise, because I can get really like, I've got to exercise. I haven't done my yoga. I haven't done my spinning. And actually, I'm really trying not to do that this year, because I just... It's punishing. And it's not, you know, and I'm kind of like, actually, you do enough.
Yeah.
So if I have time... and it's easier, then yes, I will. And I mean, you know, things like, so today, actually, that's why I was a little bit late, because I took a walk. Mm-hmm. So rather than making my time having to go to the gym and shower, just walking here. So I'm trying to do stuff more like that.
Also, that's quite a nice balanced way to look at it, because I think people get really hung up on going to classes and doing the things that feels intense. Mm-hmm. And actually, for me, like when I started walking my dog twice a day, I was like, I feel so much better and fitter, and yet I'm not doing anything that really makes me sweat, or you know, like, so actually it was a real shift for me.
Well, they did the results from the London School of Economics, did a whole research paper on it, and they found 30 years down the line walkers are fitter than runners.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Because it's more consistent, it's less hard on the body. So walking, there's a big up to the walking.
I love walking.
Yeah.
So you do some exercise. Do you go to a class?
So if I'm going to do a class, I do love spinning. Okay. I love that. But I also love yoga.
Okay.
So I do, but if I was going to go to a class, I'd go to... Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a great... I've got a great teacher in the country. So
you live in the country, right? Yeah.
Or I would go to a tri-yoga stuff or something like that in London.
Yeah. And then, okay, so then you get up, you have your porridge, or you have your egg and avocado with toast?
Probably some healthy toast of some season, like Heart Valley or whatever it's called.
Supplements?
Well, I quite like a shake. I quite like powders. So maybe. I mean, what do I take? I take vitamin D in the winter. I usually take a B vitamin of some sort, mm-hmm. Or an adrenal vitamin, because I just think life's pretty stressful. And I will try and take a fish oil.
Yeah. Okay. It's a good scent supplement. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If there is something else going on, like if I'm feeling really run down and coldy, I will ramp up a vitamin C.
Okay.
There are all sorts of other things. You know, if it's like Christmas time and I'm drinking a lot, I'll probably look at some N-acetylcysteine, you know, and stuff like that.
So you add things in.
Yeah.
Are you quite into your food being organic?
I am, but I am not into the sort of, it annoys me that it's so expensive.
Right.
And I don't think it has, I don't think you have to buy organic. I think if you're not buying organic, you just need to make sure that you either peel it, wash it. I tell you what I am really a stickler for is organic meat.
Right.
Like, I think that, apart from anything, because I think cheap meat is killing the planet, basically. Yeah. So if you spend a bit more meat less often, then a bit more money on meat less often, then, yeah.
Yeah, it's better.
I mean, I think all the antibiotics and stuff that is in meat is slightly hideous, terrifying.
Yeah, I think and when I stopped eating meat, I felt like part of, for me, was the animal. I didn't like the idea of eating an animal. And then I kept thinking, I don't feel secure or safe in the knowledge that what I'm eating is good and isn't full of hormones. And also because I have PCOS, so one of my things is I don't want any hormones in my body,
it's true.
Come from anywhere external.
I know, it's so weird. I think, it's sort of a bit freaky.
It's really weird.
Think about it.
Yeah. So tell me now then. So now you have your clinic. Tell me what your work life looks like now. Because it is fragmented. You do lots of things.
It is fragmented, and which is good, because I suppose actually after the fashion industry, which is also fragmented, even though you're doing the same job every day, you're doing it with different crew, different outfit, you know. So I work life is quite hectic. I do clinic in Harley Street on a Wednesday.
Do you get mostly people who come to talk to you about things that their illnesses and then ask for nutritional help with that, or is it more people just wanting the advice on how to eat? What do you see the most of?
A bit of both, probably more the first. You know, people come, they want help.
Yeah.
And often people have been to every other, you know, nutritionist and complementary medicine practitioners tend to be the last port of call when nothing else has helped.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about Filth.
And so Filth is our vegan, I'm calling it plant-based meat.
Yeah. Because that's you and Gizzy Erskine.
Yeah, me and Gizzy Erskine, who's made it taste amazing.
Yeah.
And that's
vegan burgers.
It's vegan burgers, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's really going amazing. We started pop up it at the Dirty Burger site in underneath Shoreditch House on Bethnal Green Road, and it's going really well. And it's taken us a long time to get here because we've been working on the patties, working on the burger, working on the recipe, working on the price actually, because we want it. You know, when you ask about organic, it's a really expensive health food, and it shouldn't be. It should be for everybody. So we've been trying to get the price of the burger down, and it's ironic that using good quality vegetarian food is more expensive than beef.
Yes.
So crazy. That's what it's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's what we've been trying to do, and we're there. So we're really pleased with it now, and we're really proud of it. It's going really well.
Yeah.
So that's a real passion project.
Yeah.
And then the 5-day plan.
And then the five-day plan as well.
Which I do once a month, because I think it focuses people to have it once a month.
Turned up today with beautiful makeup on that Wendy Rowe put on you.
Yes.
But when you're doing your own makeup, what are you doing?
Well, I know it's so funny because I keep forgetting what this amazing face on.
Has she put something on your skin?
She put on some tinted moisturiser.
Yeah.
Do you know what we were talking about today? Which is a lovely makeup, but she said it's a bit oily for makeup, but it's Orveda. Which is a vegan, very on brand, and a vegan face product, and it was the woman who did I can't remember. Anyway, it's amazing. I love it. So I told Wendy about that, but she said, you know, and that's what we use for the skin before, and I think it does it really. But it is quite oily, but it's fantastic. I mean, it makes your skin feel like
your skin looks
plump.
Enormously healthy, though.
Very plump.
Yeah,
well, it might be that I've got so much you can look. But and she put on some highlighter.
Yeah, Burberry.
And I don't. Yeah, we no, it wasn't Burberry actually, because we were using different brands.
Yeah,
because she was talking about kind brands for the skin.
Oh, okay.
RMS.
RMS. Yes, Living Luminizer.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I see it shows
like a pot with a
little pot. Yeah. Exactly. That's what it is. So
yeah.
So we saw that, and then
But what do you use? Do you do your makeup?
So I do love the Burberry stuff.
Yeah.
I love her stuff, actually. Mm-hmm. We were also talking about the Charlotte Tilbury Healthy Glow.
Yes.
The unisex one.
Yep.
I love
great.
That. Yep. I love that. That's what I would use.
Yeah.
And I would use, and I quite like a bit of a cheek stick
yep.
thing. And then...
Mascara?
So yes, I would use mascara. I do love Maybelline, something that I've used yeah. from back in the day.
The pink and green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so brilliant. Yeah.
It's a good one.
It's a good
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
And I quite like Chanel mascara sometimes.
Yeah.
So I use that, and I like a bit of eyeliner.
Yeah. How do you feel about injectables, Botox, the pursuit to remain forever 20?
I don't really think anything. Do you know what freaks me out a bit is fillers. I think I don't even know if they're still freaky. But when they first came out, there were all sorts of slips and slides going on. And it was a bit like...
Have you had anything done to your face?
Not fillers. No, I haven't. Okay. I haven't. I've had a bit of Botox there once, ages ago.
Yeah.
And then I was a bit like... But it changes the way you move your face.
Yeah.
Then
you didn't like that?
I didn't mind it. I don't... Well, that's because it doesn't go back to frowning like that anymore.
Yeah. So you retrained the muscle and then you stopped. Yeah. Right.
But I think I don't... The only thing I don't like is when people can't move their face.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like. I don't like it when... and I think there's something about growing old gracefully,
mm-hmm.
but I think you need to have a bit of courage to do that, because I don't know if I have. I might. And then there is also the fact that nobody knows really what Botox does to you inside.
I don't know.
What do you think about it?
I think that, well, I was dead against it when I was 25. And then, and now that I can see that I'm using my muscles here a lot, the idea of having something to paralyze it once and then retrain myself not to do that expression is seductive. Part of me is like, be brave, push through, it's fine. I think the thing that concerns me, and that Nicola Joss always talks to me about whenever I see her, is she's like, okay, that is, do that if you have to do that, because you know, once to retrain, fine, but what will happen is you don't get blood flow in that part of your face. The muscles get waste away. And then things slide in other ways. So you have people... But like, it's like she was saying once, but people who...
Yes.
If you have Botox, then you have it again. Then you have it, and then you start to go, oh, well now, because when people smile and then they change the way they smile, then they get lines on their nose where they smile. Then you have to have those paralyzed. And then it starts to become this...
Is that why people end up with a totally frozen face?
Yeah. And also why people who have loads of Botox look a little bit grey, because there's no circulation in the actual muscles. The muscles aren't working. They're like...
Oh, it's interesting.
Like, yeah, they're atrophied. They're just puny. So I think that I while someone who wants to do that, you know, more power to them. I think for me, I'm just nervous about, I would rather have a face that had character in it.
Yeah.
And
I think you can keep, I mean, my skin, I know that the quality
your
of my skin
amazing.
Is pretty good. And that's just from skincare.
What skincare do you use?
Well, I'm using...
And also, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, and also
You take care of yourself.
I take quite good. I mean, even though, but having said that, I did smoke for a long time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. But, do you have a cheeky cigarette every now and then?
No, I tried, I did the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's disgusting. It's funny because now I was standing behind someone smoking today and I was like, that is disgusting.
See, I conversely don't smoke, have never smoked. I mean, I've held the odd cigarette at a club, like trying to smoke before, but I don't smoke. But I quite like the smell of cigarette smoke coming at me. Not when you're directly inhaling the stream, but like, you know, on a beach when someone's smoking like 20 meters away and you get the odd curl of smoke. And I love that smell. Yeah. A little waft of smoke. Mm. I like that.
It's funny because I never thought I'd be that like that old smoker who's going, oh, I can't stand it. But I actually can't stand the smell of it. I'm like, that is so...
Oh, really? So now you're not into
like
it.
No.
Good. Tell me what skincare you use and then I will let you...
Well, so I use this Aveda.
Yeah.
And then I love Rotary.
Okay.
I love Rotary. I'm quite an oil person.
Mm-hmm. You don't get acne, your skin's dry.
My friend Teresa Tame is like, you need to use serum.
Yeah.
Use serum and then put oil on. But she said the oil's just making your skin look good. You need stuff to get in the skin.
Yeah, she's right.
She's right, I know. And also I like Romilly Wild. She does a nice serum and stuff. I try to keep it as natural as possible.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Do you know when things are really, when it's really feeling a bit like, ugh.
Yeah.
I go for the oldie, Creme de la Mer.
Do you?
I do.
So you like the surface feeling of having something on.
Yeah.
You like that slip.
Yeah, I do.
Your hair.
Yes.
Have you found anything that makes it feel plump and fat and huge?
I take Bebascal, actually. That's a supplement I try and take. No, is the answer.
Yeah.
But
not like, because I was thinking a Rebe Dry texturising spray for me when my hair's feeling puny.
Do you know what? I'm really annoying at home because I have all like organic, yeah, paraben stuff.
John Masters?
Well, yes, John Masters actually is amazing. Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually. I'd forgotten about that one because I've just been getting... Because the kids are all like, Mum, we want to have Moroccan oil, which does smell really nice.
Yeah. And I'm like, Herbal Essences, I used to love when I was a kid.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they would love.
Yeah.
And the poor children.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking us through your life and your routine. And we're going to get your tips very quickly. So that will be in a future episode. So listen out for that. It will be on a Friday in one of the bonus episodes. Thank you so much, Rosemary Ferguson. Thank you so much for listening. And please do remember to come back on Friday when I'll be joined by Rosemary again to talk about the relationship between food and anxiety. See you then. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.